I said last week that in these 3 weeks we're going to have a little mini-series, Encounters with Jesus. It's hard to decide which particular encounters we should think about. Last week we thought about three people, we don't even know their names. They were people who wanted to follow Jesus, they seemed quite enthusiastic about following Jesus, but Jesus knew that they weren't quite ready, they hadn't thought the thing through. And so he challenged them. I suppose if you want a big long word, you would call them procrastinators. People who would follow Jesus sometime, but maybe not quite yet. We're all good at procrastination. But the person we're looking at today was certainly not a procrastinator. Peter was an enthusiastic follower of Jesus. He was central to the gospel story. And indeed, he was the leader of the early church. Jesus said, on this rock, when he changed his name from Simon to Peter, Peter, Kephas, the rock. And on this rock, said Jesus, I will build my church. But it was a rock with a few cracks in it still. And as we read through the Gospels, we see how Peter was enthusiastic about Jesus. He would meet him on the lakeside. He would lend him his boat. He would, when Jesus said, come, I will make you fishers of men, he just left his work, his nets, everything he had known and followed Jesus. But he wasn't always very good at following it through, at sticking with what he had begun. One well-known preacher of the last century summed Peter up, I think, very well in a sermon. He said, blustering, blundering, clumsy, impulsive. Yeah, that was Peter, Simon, who became Peter. Makes me think there's a lot most of us can learn from Peter. Enthusiastic. But sometimes we fail. Just before COVID, Fiona and I went on a trip that I had put off all my life. I was a bit scared of it in ways. But we decided it was time to go and visit the Holy Land. Why was I scared of it? Because I had a kind of a feeling that some of my imagination was going to be shattered. Some of the things that I thought I knew so well from reading them in the Gospels would look very different when I actually saw the sites where they happened, where things were taking place. So I really, for years, didn't want to go. But we did go. I'm very glad we went. Not that all of it was wonderful. Many of my misapprehensions were, in fact, quite justified. A lot of the sites are overrun with tourists and you can hardly fight your way through, only to be shown a church that's built on another church that was built on a third church. It wasn't all that what you would expect. But some places really had an impact on me. And perhaps one beyond all others was when we were taken to a rocky outcrop on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a pebbly, gritty beach down below. And that is where, they say, Jesus met with Peter and the disciples after the resurrection. And you really did feel that it could have happened there. There was something very special about it. A place where, because the land doesn't change, it was very evocative of how Jesus might have met with Peter that morning. I've always loved this story. I think because it's It's a story of a second chance. Peter being restored. The fallible Peter, who, despite all his strength of character, at times just didn't get it right. The disciples, by this stage, had come through a lot. They'd gone to Jerusalem quite sure that Jesus was going to reign there, because they'd got the whole idea of messiahship wrong. They thought that this was Jesus going to throw out the Romans, going to be the great deliverer of Israel. No matter how often he told them that he wasn't going to be like that, that's what they thought. And so when he was arrested, when he was taken, and finally when he was crucified, they were in despair. Nobody knew what to do. They were afraid because they might be arrested as well. Peter had followed him as far as the courtyard of the high priest's house whenever he was being tried by the high priest. It was a brave thing to do. It showed the impulsive nature of Peter. He wasn't going to leave. But there he denied that he even knew Jesus. Yes, I'm from Galilee, but what does that mean? A lot of people come from Galilee. It doesn't mean I know Jesus. He failed. The crucial test, he failed. And now, they really had almost given up. They'd gone back, as many of us would in these circumstances, they'd gone back to the familiar, the places they knew, the people they knew. So the disciples dispersed out of Jerusalem. Some went down home to Emmaus, some went other places, and the fishermen went to the Lake of Galilee. And there it was Peter who said, "I'm going fishing, are you coming with me?" They were finding strength in the familiar, as we all do. Whenever things are going badly, we like to be surrounded by familiar people, people on whom we know we can depend. We like to go back to the places, the memories that we have that encourage us, that strengthen us. And so Peter and his friends were back at their fishing. But you know, while the familiar can be helpful, it wasn't enough. And isn't enough for us either. We can gain strength from familiar people and places, but in our faith, it's never enough. We need more. We need to meet with the one who is the center of our faith. And it didn't work out for the disciples that night. They caught nothing. I wonder had they ever before had a night where they'd fished and caught nothing. I suspect maybe not. And so returning to shore, they saw a stranger. They thought he was a stranger. They probably thought he was a bit of a smart aleck as well, because he said, "Throw out your nets on the other side of the ship and you'll catch dozens of fish, hundreds of fish." How would he know? We're the fishermen. But they did it for some reason. And there they caught so many fish that they had to get help to get them to shore. The stranger who wasn't a stranger. You know, we should never turn away from strangers. Because often in the stranger, Jesus can surprise us. When were you last surprised by Jesus? By anything about Jesus? And if it was quite a while ago, maybe it's time to ask why. Jesus can come to us in the unexpected, in strange ways, not just in the familiar. He can challenge us through unexpected people, by unexpected events. Jesus is the one who can so often surprise us. When C.S. Lewis wrote what is effectively his account of how he came, or moved from atheism to faith, he called the book Surprised by Joy. Now, there was a bit of a play in words there because his wife was called Joy. But he was surprised by Jesus as well. He didn't expect. He tells us that he was on a bus going to Whipsnade Zoo. He didn't expect to meet Jesus there. But that's where he met with him, and where he realized that Jesus was the one on whom he needed to depend. Another of the great characters of the last century, one of these annoying men who was good at a whole lot of things, Albert Schweitzer. One of the things he was good at, quite good at, was interpreting the New Testament. And he once wrote a book about Jesus, and he finished it. He comes to us as one unknown, without a name. As of old by the lakeside, he came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, follow me, and sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the trials, the conflicts, the suffering which they shall pass through in his fellowship, and as an inexorable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. The disciples that morning were learning something very special, that this stranger was their Lord. It wasn't Peter who realized it, first of all. Peter nearly always came second at kind of realizing what was going on around him. It was the same at the open tomb. John ran in first and then Peter. Same again. He's described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But most of us would say it's actually the author of that gospel, John. John said, it's the Lord. And Peter immediately jumped out of the ship and ran to Jesus. Do you find that surprising? I'm a bit puzzled by it. Have you ever gone walking down a street and there's somebody coming up the street that you haven't seen for quite some time, but the last time you did see them, there was just some friction between you? Either you'd fallen out and had a row, or else maybe you'd done something or said something that wasn't very kind about that person, and you felt ashamed about it ever since. And you see them coming down the road, and all of a sudden the shop window beside you is very interesting, even though there's absolutely nothing in it that you'd ever think of buying. You stare into the window, or maybe you even go into the shop, just to avoid the person that you're a bit embarrassed about meeting. You'd have thought it might have been a bit like that for Peter. Peter, after all, had failed Jesus. He had denied that he even knew Jesus at a critical time. But instead of that, he went rushing to him. Because I suspect Peter, who knew Jesus well, knew that Jesus was going to accept him, knew that Jesus was going to receive him back again, knew that Jesus was going to restore him, because that is what Jesus does. He did it for Peter. He does it for all of us. And so, like a shot, Peter was out of the boat, rushing to Jesus. He wanted his relationship restored. And Jesus had almost set up the scene. There was a charcoal fire on the beach, just as there'd been a charcoal fire in the high priest's courtyard. There was bread, and they were bringing the fish. They'd have a meal together. reminding the disciples perhaps of the hillside where Jesus had and they together had fed the 5,000. He was reminding Peter of things in the past, the familiar things, but then taking him that little stage further. Jesus had three questions for Peter, just as he had denied him three times. Well, it was the same question, really. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Commentators who like to write profound books will discuss endlessly what Jesus actually meant by the more than these. Was it the fishing? Was it the familiar people around him? Was it more than the other disciples loved me? Could have been all of those. But I suspect at least part of it, because of the nature of Peter, who was always comparing himself, and he always came out best, I suspect that at least part of it was saying to Peter, have you learnt, Peter? You once said, all these other ones will fail you, all these other ones will run away. I never will. And then he had. Have you learnt, Peter? Do you really love me? And then, when Peter three times said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, getting a little bit agitated, Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Peter was still wondering how he compared with John, but Jesus deflected him from that. Come on. Get out there. Do the work that I have called you to do. Feed my sheep. We all fail sometimes. Perhaps not as spectacularly as Peter, but then perhaps we're not as enthusiastic as Peter either. Whenever we fail, Jesus comes to restore us, to forgive us, to set us out on the task again. Do you love me? That's the question. And if we say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, then there's work to be done. Let's get on and do it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that none of us have strayed so far that you will not bring us back to yourself. None of us have failed you so spectacularly that you cannot forgive us. Enable us in all the trials of life to know that sometimes our faith will be strong and secure and the linchpin of all that we do. And at other times our faith will be challenged and we will be afraid. But may we have the confidence that you meet us again, that you restore us once more, and that you send us out to feed your flock. In Jesus' name, amen.